Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls. Hey, girls, and welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and I'm here with women's health nurse practitioner Lindsay Van Schoik. And today we are going to dive into our newest series about fitness. So, Lindsay, you want to tell them what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah. So, today we're going to kind of go over just a general overview of what everyone in the population should be doing, not specific to your hormones, not specific to women, just a general exercise kind of prescription and layout that anyone can follow. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to get a lot more specific. We're going to get into how you should be training during your menstrual cycle, if you're having a menstrual cycle, how you should be training in perimenopause, how you should be training postmenopause, and just a lot of different aspects around weightlifting and plyometrics and interval training. And so there's a lot of stuff that we can dig into in this, but exercise is really complicated, and I think it's really confusing. And a lot of times we want to make it too hard per se. So like I've spent all weekend watching, it's May now. So this probably won't be released for a few weeks, but I've spent the entire weekend watching the CrossFit semifinals. And so it's like, I want to go do all these workouts and I want to like work out like them. And then I'm like, oh, I am 30. How old am I? I'm 37 years old.
Seven.
I cannot train like that. And I shouldn't be training like that. So we see a lot of stuff on social media, and I think we get really confused about what training should look like.
Yeah, I think that is so true, especially for fitness and even food. I think we always just think like that more is the way to go, more restriction, more exercising, but really it's not beneficial in the long run at all.
No, it's not. And so when I approach exercise for anyone, there's kind of different layers to it, right? There's you want to think of like your flexibility and stuff like that as the base of your pyramid. So kind of think of fitness as a base of your pyramid. So you want stability, flexibility, stuff like that to be your foundation, because you can't get strong, you can't run, you can't do cardio, you can't do any of that if you're not able to move properly, if you're not able to squat, right?
Right.
And then you want to think of strength as your next layer on top of that. And then we get into like aerobic zone 2, zone 5 type training. And so that's what really builds a solid foundation of a fitness program. A lot of times we totally skip the flexibility and stability aspect of it. And it's one of the major things that we need to focus on, because as we get older, we lose flexibility and we lose stability. We're not able to stand on one foot. We're not able to bend down and touch our toes. And it's something that we need to be able to keep up with as we get older.
Right. Because without those things at the base, then that's how injuries happen too. And then when you get injured, the less you are able to recover from it.
Yeah. As quick, so, you know? I mean, stability is balance, essentially. It helps you from falling. It helps you walk up the stairs without falling back down it, right? It helps you prevent an injury. It helps you push yourself in exercise. So doing something before you exercise, like I live in the CrossFit world, so doing a ROM WOD or some kind of mobility work before training and after training, it's really going to help me push that strength and Metcon and aerobic capacity. Even if you're a weightlifter, it's going to help you with that. Stability is the ability to control your body from head to toe through movement, and balance is the ability to maintain your center of gravity over your base of support. So that, yeah.
And you need both in just everyday life and movement.
And but people want to skip over that, right? But you can't squat if you don't have stability. Like you can't do one-legged squats. I mean, even just like my daughter's in cheerleading and her having to do the, what is that when you stick one foot in the air? you don't know. You're not a cheerleader. You're like, I don't know.
I don't know. Just like when you stick one leg up in the air. I don't know. One of them's a scorpion. Well, that's, I know that one.
Stability.
She can probably do that.
But that's balance and stability and flexibility.
Even just when they put them up there without their leg in the air, I feel like is balance and stability. Because they're tossing them and then they kind of have to come down a little bit for them to catch them. So they have to have a lot of core stability and everything just to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the main things that her cheerleading coach tells her is, like, you have to have core strength because she's balancing on one hand up in the air. It's crazy to me. But to be a runner, you have to have balance and stability. Like, if you can't control your body, you're going to be running all over the road and tripping over that stuff. If you want to ride a bicycle, you have to. Mm-hmm. Like, why do we think kids have trouble without riding training wheels, right? Because they don't have that balance, stability, and they're, like, falling all over the place.
Right.
But it's really important. I think we really overlook it. But we need to be incorporating it into our everyday training, right? And focusing on those weaknesses, right? A lot of times we don't like to focus on our weaknesses. But if you're able to stand on one leg for a minute and stand on the other leg for 30 seconds, then you need to build up that other leg. So that way you're equilaterally, you know, on the same side, your strength is the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always used to want to skip over the snatches. When it came to my weaknesses,
But I mean, anytime.
It is funny though. You don't want to do it. The things that you're not good at, you don't want to do.
No, or the things that you don't like. I mean, why do you think that you should have a coach when it comes to training? If I programmed my own workouts, I would be doing the same thing every day. I'd be like deadlifting because that's what I like to do. Mm-hmm. When you have to do other things.
And running.
I do like to run. Yeah. But when you're focusing on stability and flexibility and all that type of stuff, your performance is going to improve, right? So if we're performing, I'm just trying to think of an example here. Like, you need to be able to balance on one foot to be able to do a pistol squat, right? And that's a one-legged squat, right? You have to be able, and that's improving strength, right? Those pistol squats are really improving your strength. But if you don't have flexibility and stability, you're not going to be able to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. That's probably why they say that for young boys, gymnastics is such a good thing for them to help them in other sports.
Yeah, it's really. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be crazy, guys. Like, do stability. You can do one long session a week of, like, plyometric or of, like, yoga or stability, or just add 10 minutes each day. Add 10 minutes stretching and working on stability and doing those types of things. It doesn't have to be hours and hours upon and you're added into your training routine, right?
Yeah.
But you really need that. You really need at least 60 minutes of stability sprinkled in daily or a more dedicated 60-minute session just to get the benefits and of injury prevention and all those types of things as you're getting older.
Yeah. So sprinkle it in daily. I like that.
Well, you only have to
just sprinkle it in daily.
10 minutes a day. That's totally doable. Yeah. Right?
Nope. A dash here and a dash there.
Yeah. And then it's really going to help you with your strength training, right? So women have to strength train. You are not going to get bulky. If I had a dollar for every time someone was like, I don't want to lift weights because I'm going to get bulky, I would be a millionaire. Because do you know how hard it is to gain muscle?
Or I don't want to look like a man, so I don't want to lift
weights. Unless you're taking steroids or tons of testosterone, you're not going to look like a man. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But as women, we don't need to just be doing HIIT and running and yoga and cardio and being cardio bunnies. We have to weight train because as we get older, we lose muscle mass because our hormones are declining, and we have to partake in weight training or we're going to be that frail old lady or old man that can't get themselves off the toilet when you're getting older. Who wants to do that? Who wants to not be able to carry their groceries in or wipe their own butt or get themselves up off the toilet?
Right. Yeah. And it helps with things too, strength training, even like your skin. I noticed whenever I got pregnant with Rhett, I was a lot older the second time around. And so when I had lost the weight again, like my skin, it was different. It didn't tighten as, you know, as easy. And strength training is really good for those things too. Yeah. And I'm not super old, you know, but I mean, it really, there's a difference.
Yeah.
So it helps.
I mean, there's lots of benefits. Yeah. So One benefit is it's going to increase your bone density. So as we get older, both men and women, our bone density declines, especially us women, because we just have this sudden drop in hormones. So weight training puts stress on our bones, like not a ton of stress, but enough stress to cause our bones to strengthen. So this can help us prevent osteoporosis. And I don't think women realize how much osteoporosis affects us. It affects 10 million Americans a year, especially us women after menopause. So if you're a lady listening and you haven't had a DEXA scan after age 50, you should go get one. You should also be supplementing with vitamin D, because I know you're deficient and you should be doing weight training.
She's not judging, but you're deficient in vitamin D.
No, because it's ridiculous. Every single person when I get labs back on, they're deficient in vitamin D. Even if they are taking vitamin D, they're still deficient. I'm like, you're not taking enough.
Where can one get the DEXA scan?
Insurance covers it. Your doctor can order.
So they would just ask their doctor.
So if you're under 50, you might have a harder time getting insurance to cover it unless you've been through early menopause. If you're in early menopause, it gets covered. If you're over 50, your insurance will cover it, and it'll tell you your T-score, and it'll give you your risk of osteopenia, osteoporosis. And sometimes that's a huge wake-up call. Like, I had a woman in my office probably 2 weeks ago, and she's only 49, but she went through menopause early, and she's in full-blown osteoporosis. And I was like, you have to start weightlifting. Like, have to strengthen your bones. Yeah. You're only 49.
Yeah, that is
scary. Yeah, and I see it a lot in runners, because we're not doing strength training and we're pounding our body on that hard pavement. I mean, think about how that impact on the pavement is impacting your bones. Sure. And then a lot of times we're not eating properly. We're not fueling our bodies properly. And so it's causing even more bone loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it increases your bone density. It increases your muscle mass. It's hard to increase your muscle mass. So just because you start lifting, you're not going to get bulky. You have to eat protein with it. But as you age, increasing your muscle mass is going to help you with your activities of daily living, like walking up the stairs, right? How many women tell us that they can't walk up the stairs without getting out of breath? Yeah.
A lot.
Or getting sore, or, you know, like, they just can't perform activities of daily living because they don't have any muscle.
Right, right. And a side note about bulky, listen, we are not made and created to be built like men. So without, you know, specific enhancements like steroids or extra testosterone, like Lindsay said, we are not going to be built like a man. Like, I'm not going to look like my husband all of a sudden, or some jacked up beefcake, if I start lifting super heavy.
Yeah, or you spend hours and hours in the gym. Like, you look at CrossFit athletes or bodybuilders, like, they're spending hours in the gym and eating a lot of food. And we're not telling you to do that.
Yeah.
Just lift 3 days a week, right? Like, that is plenty.
Right. Sprinkle it in 3 days a week.
It's perfect. So if you don't care about your bone density or being able to get up off the toilet, most women care about weight loss, right? So weightlifting helps with weight loss. So contrary to popular belief, weight training helps more with weight loss than cardio, because strength training burns more calories afterwards. So it increases your excess post-oxygen consumption. It's called EPOC. Which is what happens when your body continues to burn excess calories hours after exercise. So you go on a run, your body's burning calories during the run, but it's not burning calories after. You do a 5x5 back squat really heavy, your body's going to burn calories forever. I don't know if you've had this, but like, how have you ever went to the gym and you've just lifted really heavy, and it's like that day and the next day, you're like, I can't get enough food.
Yes. Yes.
It's because your body is burning.
Yeah. It's almost like before your period. Like, you know, it's when you ever get like that.
Yeah. It's because your body's burning all those calories. So we want you to lift weight and then match it with protein. So that way your body can continue to burn calories, and it's not doing that with cardio, which is super beneficial. Yeah.
But some women don't care if they can get off the toilet. They just want to be skinny, you know? So that's not the way to be. It's not the way to be. You want to be able to get off the toilet and look bomb.
I mean, you might want to be skinny when you're 30, but when you're 70, I'm pretty sure you don't want someone having to help you get off the toilet. I don't, at least.
This is true.
I know
you would help you, though.
But just you like won't you need would it. Go watch The Little Mermaid with me, like my family won't. But they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's even though so you nice, didn't I know The Little Mermaid was coming out.
No. And if anybody listening knew about The Little Mermaid movie or you went and saw it, you'll have to comment and let us know if you liked it too, because I'm excited about it. And Lindsay gets to go see it tonight.
Boys. Okay. So lifting weight helps with bone density, helps with muscle mass, helps with weight loss. It also helps you sleep. So resistance, I know all these ladies have trouble sleeping, right? So it increases your ability to sleep. It just helps. It just helps you sleep because you're burning a lot more calories throughout the day, and it just really helps you get that uninterrupted sleep. It also increases your energy. Mm-hmm. So exercise, any exercise in general, causes a release in endorphins, and those endorphins boost your mood and energy. But cardio, long bouts of cardio, deplete your energy stores. Strength training, on the other hand, 30 to 60 minutes of it leaves you more energy throughout the day. So if you're doing a 30 to 60 minute strength session, you're going to fill out, those endorphins are going to get released, and you're going to come out feeling like a rock star. If you go run on the treadmill for an hour, you're going to feel like, I'm ready to go take a nap.
Yeah, tired. And who doesn't want to feel more energized? Obviously, we hear that all the time. Women want more energy. But I think that they don't realize that it will help them. You know, I think they feel like it'll just make them tired and sore. And so they don't want to do that.
It also lowers stress levels. And goodness gracious, we live in the most stressed out world ever. So according to the American Psychological Association, women are more likely to report physical symptoms of stress than men. So headaches, stomach aches, all that type of stuff. Weight training can really help because it's releasing those endorphins, but it's also just improving your overall wellness. So it's improving those stress levels. And it boosts your confidence.
And a lot of people say, even if they're just having a bad day, you know, people who go to the gym regularly, that really helps. If they're having a bad day, just they go to the gym, get their workout in. But it's that release of endorphins, and it's just so good for you in so many ways.
My nurse is like, when I'm crabby, is like, did you work out today? And I'm like, no. She's like, I can tell the days you don't work out. I'm like, whatever, go away.
Go take a walk.
You should try it, right?
But I mean, yeah.
So
yeah,
we're going to sprinkle in stability, 10 minutes every day, maybe a dedicated 60-minute session. We're going to do 3 to 5 bouts of strength training a week, kind of depending on where you're starting, 30 to 60-minute sessions. We want to make sure that we're like squatting one day, that we're deadlifting one day, and that we're pushing one day. So easy, right? You want to work your legs, you want to work your hamstrings, and you want to work your upper body. Totally acceptable ways to weightlift. And we're going to get in this in further podcasts. When you're younger, you can do that hypertrophy training stuff. Go for it. When you're older, I need you to lift heavy weights. And we'll dig into that in another podcast because we're just going over basics. But just 3 to 5 sessions of 30 to 60 minutes a week is plenty for you to do strength training.
Yeah. And it's better that way. The high reps, that is just like exhausting. Like I've done it so many times and it just takes forever. And I just don't want to do that.
No, I mean, you can do a 5x5 back squat and it's plenty for the day.
Right. Right. But that's, again, I think people just think they have to do more, 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 but it's not.
You're actually just going to break down your muscle even more, but that's, nor here or there. So then we go to aerobic. There's 2 types of aerobic activity you need to incorporate in your day. So I know if you guys have been following me on Instagram lately, I've been talking a lot about zone 2 cardio. So that's kind of what I'm going to dig into first. So aerobic exercise is there's zone 2, zone 3, zone 4, zone 5. It's kind of confusing. If you have a Whoop, it tells you what zone you're in, whatever. But zone 2 training is a type of aerobic exercise that really helps in health and wellness. It helps your heart, your muscle, your lungs, your brains, all that type of stuff. So zone 2 builds you this wide, strong base of aerobic capacity, and zone 5 raises your peak of it. So you think of aerobic capacity, Zone two widens it. Zone five peaks it, right? So zone two is that probably like 60% of your max heart rate where you can hold a conversation, but you're a little bit winded, right? So I do a lot on my concept two bike where I keep my heart rate around 120, 130, where I'm not like out of breath. I still might break a little bit of sweat, but I can still have a conversation. Like I'll do coaching calls on my bike because I can have a conversation while I'm doing it. It might be a lot of like, if it's not super hot, I'll put my rucksack on, which is like 30 pounds. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. So that's your zone two too. So like when you do like a weighted walk. Yeah. And
I can't just
like
go on a regular walk because I don't get my heart rate high enough. You could do a long, slow jog, bicycling, swimming, concept two, you could do even a rower at a lower pace, but it's kind of that where you can like, you're not getting crazy out of breath. You're at like 60% of your heart rate, right? And it is really helpful to just improve your overall health. So I always recommend to start with zone two. For a beginner, you're going to want to do about 2 hours a week. So it could be 4 30-minute sessions. It could be 2 60-minute sessions, whatever, but you want to try to get in about 2 hours a week of that. If you're ideally, you want to get 3 to 4 hours a week of it, right? You can't get too much of it. Like you can't. Zone two, you're burning a lot of fat. It's that heart rate zone where you're building a lot of fat, but you're going to recover really fast from it, which is why you can't do too much of it because you're not just completely stressing your body out, right? But we're all busy and we have lots of things to do, so we're not going to spend 10 hours a week doing zone two cardio. If you can get 3 to 4 hours, two if you're just starting, perfect.
Yeah.
So I mean, I sit by my pool while my kids are swimming and ride my bike.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's a good idea because it's not like you're going crazy. It's just kind of like the top of like leisurely, I feel like.
I mean, you could probably do it like on a super power walk, but that hurts my shins.
Are you like stomping like really hard? You're like trudging in like a soldier on your power walk. But the weighted vest is
I love my rucksack,
I mean, because
I mean, if you, I mean, you still have to push the pace a little bit, but it's, and it's also strength training a little bit, right? Like,
And a lot of core. I feel like you use your core a lot.
So zone two, start with 2 hours a week, ideally build up to 3 to 4. And then lastly, we need to get some of that zone five. So zone five, you should be spending about 20% of your activity for the week in zone five. It's that like peak heart rate. It's that high intensity. I don't want to spend much time here because it hurts, right? You don't want to spend a lot of time in zone five because it hurts. It's like doing Fran, like that, like, like, get me off of this.
Zone five is where you have to kind of like go into the little dark space in your head.
Yes. So it's not a long cardio beach body HIIT workout. It's like to the max. So maybe you're getting on the rower and rowing 1K for time and just getting off of it, right? Maybe you're doing like a 5-minute Metcon where you're just like rolling on the floor afterwards, right? Maybe you're doing some sprint interval training. I like a lot of people can't get into that pain cave like that. So let's do sprint interval training instead. So get on that bike, rower, run, max out for 20 seconds, fully recover for 2 to 3 minutes and do like 5 to 10 sessions of that, right? So it doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to do a lot of it, but you do need to do some of it. And it might be hard for you to start if you're just starting out with exercise. Like if you're just starting out with exercise, do your strength training in zone two, and we can add in this zone five later on. But in a perfect world, you're doing about 2 sessions of zone five a week. Literally, that's it. It's not like I'm asking you to spend hours. So if we add all of this up, I'm going to add it up. So I'm asking you to do, okay.
Let's add it up.
60 minutes of stability, sprinkling it in, right? Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 hours of zone two, sprinkling it in, right?
This is the recipe for exercise success.
So if we do 4 30-minute sessions of strength, we're good. And then maybe 2 sessions of zone 5, right? So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm asking you to commit 8 hours of physical activity a week. Like, ideally, right? That's really not that much, because you can do zone 2 sitting in your living room watching TV. You can do stability sitting in your living room watching TV. The only things that you really have to like go to the gym for are those 3 to 5 sessions of strength training and that 2 sessions of zone 5. And you can get...
Unless you have a gym in your... Unless you have something in your house, then you don't even have to go anywhere.
But it...
Take the clothes off the bike as a coat hanger and clothes hanger and use it. You know, people just throw their clothes on like the treadmill and stuff.
So, I mean, if you want the perfect exercise plan where everyone should start, this is it. Now, based upon your goals, body composition, performance, what you like to do, that's where coaching comes into play, because your coach can work with you on that. Like, my training looks different than this because I have different goals. So I'm doing 6 sessions of strength training for an hour a week. I'm doing zone 2 probably an hour a day. I'm hitting that high intensity, not that much because I don't like to do it. And I won't lie, I really suck at the stability stuff. So note to self.
He's like, not that much. She's like, I can't lie to the people. So
if you ask my husband, he'd be like, she never does stability. So don't let her tell you that. It's like me saying you need to practice stress management and do breath work. He'd be like, she doesn't do that either.
And he's like doing it with nonstop.
His language games. Yes, he's a mess. Yeah. So this is something you can do, your husband can do, your mom can do, your kids can do. Like, it's just a general exercise plan of, this is what makes a long, healthy lifestyle. And I think that's what I wanted people to take away from this podcast episode. We can totally dig in to more specifics, to hormones and women and goals and all that type of stuff. But for general training purposes, this is where you should start.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that how you said your husbands, your kids, even something so simple as if you did just buy a weight vest. I mean, they have them at like Walmart and Dick's. You could go and get a weight vest. You could put it on, take a walk with the kids, because it's good for them too. It's good for them to be outside. It's good for them to get physical activity. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a 2-hour walk. Just take a walk before dinner or a walk after dinner. You know, the weather's nice. No excuses. No,
and
ladies.
Honestly, like, One of the main things I tell women is, like, go on a walk after you eat your meals, right? Because especially if you're eating carbohydrates, that walk is going to help you utilize those carbohydrates, and it's going to help that blood sugar prevent it from spiking. And that's what happens a lot of times when we get through menopause. Our blood sugars start – we can become insulin resistant, and our blood sugars start spiking and all that type of stuff. So walking is amazing for you.
Yep. And now the weather's nice, and I think it's the perfect time to, you know, start something, a new exercise routine, just get out there. It's sunny. It's beautiful. People are happier.
No excuses.
No excuses.
Yeah. Okay. So next week, we're going to talk about training with your menstrual cycle. This is something I get asked a lot of questions about. A lot of people have no idea what it means. But there is good research, good education on training with your menstrual cycle, to not prevent injury, to get the maximum benefits from exercise, all those types of things. I will tell you, if you're on birth control, it's not going to apply to you unless you're on IUD, because it suppresses those natural hormones. But any naturally cycling woman that has an IUD, that's going to be a really beneficial episode for you guys.
But birth control women, we do love you still.
You should still listen, right? But
yeah, just know. Yeah, it just doesn't apply to you.
But it might one day.
But you could still sit with us. Yeah, yeah. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. And as Lindsay said, please tune in next week as we start to talk about exercise throughout our menstrual cycle. And if you can, leave us a 5-star review and a kind rating below. It helps us a ton.
Bye, ladies.
See you next time.